It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark Yeagy. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. We have a special guest on today, and she's a student at the University of Austin. Am I right on that?
Yes, sir.
And she's a sophomore and pretty switched on from what I can tell before we turn the recording on. So we're going to have a little chat about one of the topics that's close to my heart, and that is financial education, how it's failing us in this country. And maybe Lucy has a solution. So Lucy Taylor, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you so much, Mark. I'm excited to be on here.
Good. Great to have you. Let's talk. Listen, you're right in the air in the age where we should be teaching people about financial, acumen and having financial advice and education. And we don't do any of that, right? How many classes in high school did you take in finance or financial education?
Absolutely zero. I had no financial literacy whatsoever.
But I know you're taking linear algebra. That's really important to being able to do your taxes and buy your first home, right?
Not exactly. I think we don't prioritize exactly the right types of classes in the current state of education.
Yeah. So what are we prioritizing?
Well, we prioritize lots of English, lots of reading, math. And I'm someone who loves math. I did tons of calculus in high school, loved every bit of it, but there was no applied real, like, how do we apply this math into our real life, which is personal finance. It's a lot of numbers. A lot of people don't like math, and then they go into their own, you know, finances and are so confused, so overwhelmed. There's so much jargon. There's so many scams, all the crypto stuff, all the fintech stuff. It's a mess. And people are completely overwhelmed and have nowhere to start. And so that's when they fall into, you know, cheap schemes, lending, credit card debt, and then one financial decision leads to another. And then immediately you're in debt and you have no way to get out of it.
Yeah. So what from your perspective, and you're different, right? So you're in the financial education space now because you're making it a thing about it. But what are you learning? Like, what is the typical person next to you learning as far as financial education?
Well, my peers, it's very interesting being in college now because we're all on our own. We don't have a specific financial literacy class at this university, and most high schools don't, right? Actually, what's funny is I'm going to a corporate finance class literally right after this. So cool. We're learning more kind of accounting stuff, but there's no applied personal finance class for students. And so what a lot of people end up doing is just learning via their peers or social media. And so I see my peers going and just, you know, the cliche of buying a $6 latte every single day or going on shopping sprees or not knowing how to file their taxes. You're immersed in this world immediately as a college student, right? And there are all these things going on around you. And like I said, it's very overwhelming. And most people my age kind of look to their peers for advice or look to social media. And both of those things can let you down.
Yeah. So what do you think are the top five things that you should learn as a 21-year-old, you know, person, whether you're in college or not? What are the top five things that you should learn?
It's a good question. I would say definitely top one is budgeting. That's just your classic financial literacy skill that you need to have. Responsible credit usage. I would say learning how to, this is a weird one, but learning how to negotiate, learning how to carry yourself in the career space, because that unlocks higher paying opportunities for you. You can't like necessarily kind of cut and calorie count your money and try to get out of spending too much, but you can proactively take choices to advance your career, advance yourself to make more. And so I would say that one. What else? Yeah, those are, I mean, coming up with five is kind of like on the dot. That's a lot.
What about buying a house?
Buying a house is definitely relevant, but I feel like a lot of people my age feel priced out of buying a house. So that's not super relevant. So I guess another one would be credit card rewards. And that goes along with responsible credit usage. You know, some credit cards let you pay your rent with them, and then that unlocks other things. And so for my generation, renting is a huge deal. And so learning how to navigate that landscape rather than buying a home specifically.
Stock market, crypto, those kinds of things?
Yeah. Stock market, there are lots of crypto scams. So a lot of my generation falls for these, you know, fintech, very attractive, high return seeming opportunities, but a lot of them are really just scams. And so going back to the basics, I mean, personal finance is very boring when you look at it. And that's why people are so disengaged, because at its core, it's really just those good habits that compound. And so avoiding those flashy crypto schemes and just investing in index funds, ETFs, the consistent, boring, predictable stock market options, I think that's important to know as well.
Well, boring is successful in the stock market, and most people don't know that
Absolutely.
because they get flashed with, "I'm going to double my money, I'm going to make 6x on Shiba Inu," or whatever it is, and they just get sucked into to scams because they're not experienced and they don't know what a scam looks like. Hey, even adults get sucked into scams. I know lots of them, there's really only one good crypto, and that's Bitcoin, and that's extremely volatile as well. And you got to have time on your side. So yeah, you're right. But you know what? Let's talk about that boringness, because it's a boring topic, but I don't know about you. I use money every single day, and you might as well learn about it if you're going to use it, right?
Absolutely. It is one of the most boring things that people feel like they could talk about or be lectured at by a teacher, but it is so important in everyday life. You are immersed in it. There's nothing that you do that almost doesn't have some component of money involved.
So what do we do? How do we change this culture? Because let me give you a theory, and then I'll ask you that question. And the
Okay.
theory is they don't want us to know. I think there's a reason that we don't have high school classes to teach us about money and negotiation and credit and budgeting. And there's a reason. And I think there's a reason that you go off to college and you learn four, semesters of English and three of, calculus and trig and algebra. Things that you never really use. Trust me, I've got a business degree and a good one, and I don't use algebra. Like, I don't say train A leaves from here and train B goes there. I think they crowd out the important things, the things that we need to learn, how to cook, how to care for ourselves, education about health, and then definitely education about money, because they don't want us to know. So I'll go back to the theory here, and then I'll open it up because you're the guest. But the theory is, 100 and something years ago, they wanted us to go to work in a factory. That was a big shift from, 30, 40, 100 years before that, where everybody was kind of entrepreneurial and you did your own thing and you maybe made some horseshoes or whatever. They wanted to take all those people and employ them into a factory and mass produce consumer items. And that was great for that time. And what we needed to do was learn how to take orders, be disciplined, be managed, manage. But that has changed. And you know what? Institutional things don't change fast enough for this country or for this world. And so, where would we start? Where do we start? Where do we start to teach people that they can be the drivers of their own financial success?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're spot on with the theory about schools. I mean, we are kind of in a mass-produced economy. It started in the 1800s with the Industrial Revolution, and the goal was to produce good workers. But now a good worker looks a lot different than it used to. And so, a good worker, I've always said, your entrepreneurialism will be your best friend. In this horrific economy with AI all over the place, crazy stuff going on, you need to know how to be self-reliant and how to leave a job and go do something else if you need to. You need to know how to, collect skills as if they're your personal assets. You need to build your personal brand. So I think you're totally spot on. As far as proactive things that people can do, I mean, in a lot of my research, I've uncovered that it begins very young and it begins in the home. So kids around the age of 7, they've already started kind of putting together their financial mindset. They've watched their parents. They practice these little games where they have to use delayed gratification. They have to prioritize certain things that they want or need. All of these things start to feed into their mental schema of how they will eventually go on to live their life financially, right? And so, knowing that those habits are already almost hardwired into us, we have to be very intentional about the steps we take when trying to, I guess, redo someone's financial habits. If they got stuck in a bad financial habit, let's say they're buying those $6 lattes every day, we have to say, okay, how can we proactively step away from that and not just eliminate that habit, but replace it with better ones? So instead of buying your coffee out every day, maybe make that one-time investment in a really good coffee maker, and then you have already cut down your cost of coffee every day and you haven't given that up, right? That is one of the things that's most important with personal finance is the line item budgeting, right? I say that's the calorie counting of finance because it's very restrictive and it's not sustainable long term. So instead of saying, "Ooh, I need to cut this here," or "I need to do this one thing here," we need to prioritize systems thinking and how we can replace those kind of bad habits with better ones. And like I said, it's super boring, but it compounds, right? So instead of depriving yourself of thing after thing after thing, maybe instead of giving up your shopping spree and not buying, a ton of clothes at the mall, maybe you say, "Oh, I'm going to go shop secondhand and I'm going to do this more sustainable habit that I can buy one clothing item per month instead of just going out and impulse spending and then racking up the credit card." So it's slow, it's boring, but it compounds. And so by not just eliminating things, but replacing things with better habits, that's how I think a lot of people can go about improving their personal finances.
Isn't it also, and I'm harkening back to when I was in school, that people in your age group don't really see the future? Like, oh, the future is so far off, it'll take care of itself. I'm just going to get a job, everything will be fine. But like, if you sat down and showed them what compounding interest is on, a week of $6 lattes over a year, that they could be, they could have $500,000 by the time they're 50. Does that land? Or is that just like, yeah, whatever, I want my coffee?
Absolutely not. I think this is another thing where visuals are super important because our brain was not evolved to imagine 24.99% APR compounding. Like, we think very linearly. We do not think in terms of compound interest, which is so much of personal finance. And so that's where it's really helpful. Instead of saying, "Oh, if you cut your latte here, you'll get better linearly." But when you show them an actual graph or you put them in a simulation,
There you
then
go.
they're able to experience it.
Yeah, nice.
Hey, it's Mark Yeager here to tell you about our cash flow machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more.
It's true, and there are books written about it. The brain can't comprehend exponential growth. It can only comprehend geometric growth. And exponential growth is where we're at. I'd like to just switch to a topic that you mentioned, and then we can come back to this because you are touching on a topic that should be incredibly relevant right now for everybody, including and especially for, people that are in their teens and 20s and even 30s. And that's AI. And I heard you kind of say something that, was you're making AI seem scary, but like, I believe that it's the people who embrace AI, even in their finances, that are going to be head and shoulders ahead of the people that are not embracing it because it's here to stay. It may be something we don't like or maybe scary, and there may be just some, scary downsides to it, but it's here to stay. What do you think? What do you think about AI these days?
Totally. AI is just a technology like any other technology, but it's at a massive scale. It can do so much. And so I totally agree with you that I guess AI will not be the one replacing people, but people using AI absolutely will. And so AI, yes, it's scary in a sense, but also it's very promising. I mean, there's this whole movement about like tech optimism, right? What can we do with this new technology? And so I think to stay ahead in the job market, you need to be resourceful and be entrepreneurial, like I said, and figure out how can I adopt AI into what I'm doing? Because it is absolutely inevitable that it will come into your career at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I know some people college age that are like, no, I'm not going to embrace AI. It's scary. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Uses too much energy, all these other things. But those are the people I believe, like you said, are going to be left behind. So you need to have it as a part of who you are because it does help you compete with the other people that are using AI as well. And so,
Exactly.
so listen, you have a couple of projects. You have something that you're working on that will help people. And that's why we're talking here. I want to see what that's all about. Maybe you can tell us.
Yeah, totally. I'm working on a startup called Aurum. It comes from the Latin word for gold, and it is a personal finance education platform. I like to think of it as a flight simulator for personal finance. So a lot of people, let me go back. I think personal finance is a game, right? There are set winning conditions, there are set rules, and there are definitely strategies that you can use to optimize and get to those winning conditions, right? But we don't teach it that way. We teach personal finance in most cases as a person standing in front of a classroom lecturing to students and having them memorize terms, having them understand what a budget is, and probably filling out a mock budget, right? It's applied in some ways, but it's definitely not where it could be, especially with AI. And so what we're doing with Aurum is we're combining AI, gamification, and scaffolding to maximize the outcomes for the user. So what does that look like specifically? I talked about AI. There's a lot of data in personal finance, and a lot of it gets wasted. There's so many numbers. There's so much analytics that we could run on someone's finances to help them, achieve a better state, but we're not really using that. And so we want to incorporate AI, and then we want to do that hand in hand with a game. So as I said, personal finance is a game. There are set rules, set winning conditions, and set strategies. And so we want to teach it like a game. And kids love games. Kids don't love being lectured at by Mrs. Susie telling them how to, optimize their API or their APR. But they love playing games. That gets them very involved, and even they love doing it with their peers. And so that's what we're trying to do. We are building a simulation game, which is a 3D world. Students can play, interact with it just like you would play The Sims or Minecraft or any other kind of simulation strategy style game. And they're able to play with each other, and that gets them really involved and immersed in these financial concepts. And then lastly, we use scaffolding. And scaffolding is the idea of progressively removing the supports of a learner as they start to demonstrate higher competence. So this is like the I do as the teacher, we do as the class, and then you do as the student, right? And we're doing that with finance because a lot of people, they don't get any scaffolding. They start kind of being lectured at about it, and then they go out into the real world, and there's no kind of progression up to that point before they're filing their taxes and they don't know what to do. And so what we're doing is a three-phased approach with kind of kids playing in the game world, teens being able to manage their finances on an applied kind of dashboard AI app, and then adults being able to do full-scale financial modeling with AI in the real world, completely removed from the game state that they were learning in. So that kind of progression is how we teach well and how we build confidence and then how we help them apply it in the real world.
How does that work in a 3D environment? Were you using an Oculus or something or a Meta
No, it's a
goggles?
mobile game. It's a mobile game. And
Mobile.
it's just like The Sims or something where you have a 3D world, you have your kind of player, and you're able to interact with other people and things in the world.
I see. Very cool. Very cool. What's in the game? Stock market,
Yeah.
budgeting, all the things that we've talked about here, or what?
Yeah, we're progressively adding the more complex things, but it's basically a simple financial simulator. You're able to work jobs, you're able to pay your bills, you're able to interact with other people, and it's kind of like a tycoon game. Like, I don't know if you've heard of the Roblox, like
Sure.
business builder games, that kind of stuff, but you're basically progressing and advancing your character throughout this game. And we're adding in kind of the real world layers, but we're starting really simple and just teaching the basics.
That sounds like a perfect way to learn, perfect way to get people engaged. It sounds like you're really spreading it around all ages as well, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, nice. Good. All right. Well, how can people find out about this game if you want to let people know, or how can people find out, more about what you're doing?
Yeah, you can follow me on X at Aurum, Aurum Financial. And then also the website is aurumfinancial.app. And so you can sign up for the waitlist there. I'll be pushing out updates as the game is in development, and you can sign up early for releases.
Oh, you got a team working with you?
Yes, I have a couple developers that I'm talking with. And primarily, this is the thing about AI, it literally breaks the barriers to entry into software. So I've been
Yeah.
developing it myself with AI, with Claude Bot, all of the, I have like specific AI agents doing different tasks. It's like I have my whole development team, but they're AI agents, and then I'm speaking with real
So
developers as
asking that
well.
AI question, I was spot on, right?
Yes, exactly. Yes, it's very pertinent.
So I'm running an OpenClaw and having my challenges with it, and then I'm
Okay.
embracing all the other AIs, and I just finished my own game. It's a
Okay,
stock market
nice.
charting game as well. So we wrote that here as well. So that's cool. Well, good. We're speaking from the same song sheet. So that's super. Anything that I didn't ask you that I should have asked you, Lucy?
Oh man, I feel like you covered a lot. I mean, this has been a great conversation. I think it's very important, like we said, to be proactive, to know that because personal finance involves everyone and because it's so pervasive, it's a very predatory field. And so being very careful, being very intentional about how you go about your habits, how you interact with people and platforms and institutions, it's very important. So I'm glad we're talking about this. It's very important that we raise awareness and help people get their financial lives in sync.
I love it. Beautiful message. This is the message that I speak about all the time. Financial education is where it's at. And if you can gamify it, like it sounds like you're doing, I think that's the Holy Grail. I wish you and Aurum a lot of luck. And thank you for sharing and spreading your wisdom on the show.
Thank you, Mark. It's been a great time.
And everybody else who's listening and watching, remember what I always say, never give up your power and your health, your wealth, or your time. Thanks for being here on the Wealth Architect Podcast, and I'll see you next time. Take care.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yagi. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.